Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We'll be in Colossians chapter number 1, please. A little epistle to the church at Colossae. Chapter 2. I may refer to chapter 1. It's good to be back in the Lord's house. And we're glad you're here. Good prayer meeting crowd tonight. Was good to see Brother Biddle coming in. And we're glad he's coming to the mansion with us. Miss Raines has been, I've been over there by herself in a 22-room mansion. And the wind blowing about 80 mile an hour last night. Sleet beating on the windows, and I was more afraid than she was. Amen. But we made it through the night. Praise God. And the sun come up again this morning. It's good to be saved. I guess this will probably be my last time standing here this meeting. And I do want to thank you for a good place to stay and all your kindness and goodness to us. So the reason the preacher bought a suit is because of the way we've been eating. I tell you, take more than that. If this meeting goes on, we'll have to buy some more clothes other than just one suit. But I appreciate your kindness and goodness to me and my wife. She said, quit referring to her as Miss Raines. But I did that years ago to get the young people at church to respect her and not call her Norma, Amen. But so they referred to her as Miss Raines like I did. But I'm in Colossians. I know we got another preacher. And I know you've heard it before, but I won't keep you long. Amen. I said the other night preaching somewhere, I said Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband, I'm not going to keep you long. And somebody said she married the eighth one before she died. So maybe she didn't keep the eighth one too long either. Anyway, amen. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. You pray for me. I did try to study short, keep it a little short. I thought Brother Biddle was going to preach tonight as well. So I don't think that I'll be very long. A year or two ago, I said I'm just going to read the chapter for the sake of time. And Brother Massengill made fun of me and laughed at me and mocked the elders and made fun of the elders and brought a reproach on me because I was reading the chapter for the sake of time. But I'm going to read 10 verses, I think, tonight for the sake of time. And I've got 3 points and I'll be through. Verse number 1, Colossians chapter 2 in your King James Bible. God said, for I, Paul's writing to the church, said, for I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I like abounding with thanksgiving, don't you? I believe that's shouting on one foot every now and then when you hit the floor, thanking God for all of his blessing. Now, I know abounding and thanksgiving, I believe those are two good words put together. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's in Jesus, or in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I'll stop there in the middle of that sentence. Would you ask him to help me, Father? Lord, I love you. I do want to thank you tonight for the abounding grace of God. I'm glad your hand reached further down, Lord, than I could have ever reached up. And I want to thank you for saving me by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to serve you, to live for you in these last and perilous days. And I want to thank you for your grace. It's been sufficient every day of my life, Lord, for the last 45 years. I thank you for an opportunity to stand one more time and tell somebody about Jesus and his saving grace. And I pray the Holy Ghost would anoint me, Lord, one more time. And Lord, I pray you'd make preaching easy and you'd give liberty and unction and clearness of thought. I pray it touch my throat, touch my body, and meet the physical need. But above all, I pray the Spirit of God would anoint the Word of God. And Lord, it'd fall upon some good, fertile ground tonight. I pray it save some lost soul, reclaim the backslidden, send revival to every church, every ministry that's in this building tonight. And we'll love you and thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord being my helper, I want to go through these 10 verses, do a little bit of exposition in my study. Here's how the Lord dealt with me about these verses. He said in verse number 2 that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. I'm interested in the mystery of God. If you'll allow me to, I want to use for alliteration's sake the mystery of life. God is life, and without God there is no life, and I'll get back to that in just a moment. In verses 1 and 2, I saw 1 through 3, I saw the mystery of life. In verse 4, down through verse number 7, using verse 4, he said, "This I say." I want to preach for a little while on the meaning of the letter, the mystery of life, and then the meaning of the letter. And then verse 8 down through verse number 10, my message tonight, playing on verse number 10, "And ye are complete in him." For a little while tonight, I want to preach on the mystery of life, the meaning of the letter, and then the missing link. And I'm going to preach verse 10 as my thought tonight. Jesus said all of it, or Paul did, "It is made up and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ." And so I see the mystery of life. Here's my thought. Life is a mystery. God is a mystery. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, "We have been made stewards of the mysteries of God." I really think there's 7 mysteries in the Bible, but God and life is a mystery within itself. And life is misunderstood, and if you don't ever get life figured out, and you never will apart from Jesus, until you meet him and he becomes that life that you're looking for and maybe would like to know more about or understand more about the mystery of life, the only way you're ever going to get that solved is in Jesus. And that's where the meat of my message is tonight. But life is a mystery, and the Bible says that God is life. And I could give you John chapter 1. I won't take time to do that tonight. But God is life, and that life is manifested in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is only one God. We're well aware of that. I hope that everybody listening to me believes that tonight. There is one God, one life, manifested in 3 distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that type, and that is pictured through the Bible from Genesis, clear through the book of the Revelation that John gave us. And 1 John 1:7 said there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. I don't see how anybody could deny the Trinity to you. And the Bible said there is a Godhead here. And verse number 9, "For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." And so we have the Father. The Bible said God is a spirit, and spirits are invisible. You cannot see a spirit. Now, some folks think they do, but they ate too many dill pickles and banana pudding before they went to bed, and they had some kind of a hallucination. Amen. But God is invisible. God is an eternal, invisible spirit, the Bible said in John chapter number 4. It's kind of like my thoughts. You really don't know what I'm thinking. But if I would take my thoughts and wrap those thoughts up into a sentence or put them in word form, then you may could hear and see what I am thinking. And so God is an eternal, invisible spirit. And the Bible said in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, and received up into glory. And so I'm not preaching on it tonight, but the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ is a Bible truth that cannot be denied. If you ever think you're going to get saved, by the grace of God. Jesus Christ was God incarnate in a body of flesh. God's Christ became man's Jesus and was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago and walked sinlessly among men for over 33 years and died on an old rugged cross that we might be saved by the grace of God. What salvation is all about tonight is His life for mine. My life, as I'm telling you, was a mess and I was dead in trespasses and in sin. Jesus took my death and gave me His life, and that's the best trade I ever made in my life. Amen. I traded everything for nothing. Amen. And I got the best end of the deal when I got saved by the grace of God. But Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God. If you ever know anything about God, you're going to have to learn it in Jesus. Amen. And this religious world that claims to know God and talks about God and professes the knowledge of God, they know absolutely zero about God if they don't know anything about Jesus. Amen. All things were made by Him. Without in Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and the Bible said, ye are complete in Him. And so I see the mystery of life. If you want to get it unclouded and get it understood, just study Jesus, amen, and learn everything that you can learn about Him. He did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And a lot I could say about life, His life tonight, I'm glad He gave His life for mine. And I have His life living in me, and so I'm going to live as long as He lives. Amen. I stuck my finger in a light switch one time, and I didn't say I'm being shocked. I was already shocked. Amen. And I'm not being saved. I am saved. And I'm going to live as long as Jesus lives tonight. That's what salvation is all about. You're not saved on the installment plan. Amen. You're either saved or lost. You're not being saved. You're either saved by the naked grace of God, or you've never been saved at all. And so life is a mystery. But I'm glad Jesus is the unraveling of the mystery of life. And then Paul wrote in verse number 4, down through verse number 7, this I say. And he went down through there and named several things. And he said in verse number 6, ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here's what he said, the meaning of the letter. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul writing to that young church, and he said, some of you has been saved since I've been there, and you have not seen my face in the flesh. And so I'm writing unto you to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. We got a world and pulpits full of philosophers tonight, and a lot of them have been educated beyond their intelligence, and they've exercised their mind till they stretched it out there and lost the elasticity out of it, and it never did come back. Amen. And may God help that crowd of philosophers tonight, and they're deceiving a multitude of people tonight that has never brought them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn everything you can learn and not know Him, neighbor. You're of all men's most miserable. Somebody said education without salvation is the ruination of the whole creation. Amen. You can ascend to the highest hill and descend to the lowest place in the earth and acquire all the knowledge of the world and miss Jesus, and sir, you have missed it all. That brings me to my message tonight in verse number 10, and ye are complete in Him. If that statement's true, and it is, if you are complete in Him, I believe I could turn that around and say, if you are not in Him, you are not complete.
If you are not in Jesus, you are not complete. To be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew, Gentile, bond or free, and have been made all to drink of that spiritual drink. Amen. And may God help you tonight to leave this building knowing that you are in Christ and he is in you. The Bible said in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Bible said, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you and which you have of God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. They all belong to God. Amen. And on I could go, but I'm preaching verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Let me ask you tonight, is your life complete? Or would you like for your life to be complete? If so, tonight, pray you'll give me a little bit of attention and you can leave here tonight completely satisfied by the grace of God. Jesus satisfies. Amen. How were thine eyes open? He said, Jesus. Are you listening? I'm telling you, he is sufficient to satisfy his creation tonight. And if you will allow him to, he will satisfy every need of your life, whatever that need might be. Yea, ye are complete in him. I looked the word complete up, and it means to be full. It means to be filled. That glass is not full of water. I don't know if you can see it back there. It's got two or three rings on the top of it, but it likes about an inch and a quarter being full of water. And that's the way a lot of folks' life is tonight. Their lives might be full of a lot of things, but if Jesus is not the individual, the thing that fills that life up, then that life will never be complete. By the way, he is the water of life. Amen. And if you would allow him to pour himself into you tonight, you would be completely filled and you would be satisfied tonight. You'll never find it. You can drink from all the cisterns of this world and drink from all the wells of wickedness, neighbor, and a sea of sin tonight and still come up thirsty. But if you'll drink of the water of life tonight, I'm telling you, he will satisfy you and he will fill you and he'll run you over. I'm glad, praise God, that Jesus Christ can take a dirty vessel and clean it up and pour the water of life into it and run that life over. I'm telling you, praise God, we are complete in him tonight. I'm telling you, that word means to be filled up and full to the top and running over. That's what Jesus will do in your life. Preacher, how do you know that? Because he did it for me. Amen. My life is full. Jesus filled my life. My little bride sitting back there, we'll be married 50 years in October, October the 7th. I've had a good life. Amen. My sons are preaching tonight. My families are singing. And every one of them, without exception, is in the house of God tonight. I'm telling you, God has been good to me. God has filled my life up. Jesus has blessed me. And tonight I stand before you with this authority behind what I'm saying tonight. Jesus satisfied, and you are complete in him. The word means filled, like a glass of water full to the brim. It also means finished. And I'm telling you, when you get in him, it's finished. Amen. It is settled. It's a tetelestai, what he cried on the cross of Calvary. It is finished. Amen. I'm telling you, that's your life will be full. And I'm telling you what you're searching for. Here's what I'm implying tonight. Your search is going to be over. It's finished. You can ascend. You can descend. You can learn. You can persevere. And you can press. But I'm telling you, until you meet him face to face, it's just going to be an endless search and an endless search. But when you run up face to face with the Son of God and you receive him into your life tonight, your search will be over. Now, some of you don't know what you're searching for, and I wasn't saved till I was 26 years old, and I've been saved a long time, amen, about 45 years. We'll be coming December the 31st, and so that'll make me about 70 years old. I don't feel like it, don't look like it, hope I'm not acting like it, amen, but I am saved and saved good by the grace of God. It is finished. I'm telling you, He satisfied me. Saved by the grace of God. My life is complete. Ye are complete in Him. That word means several other things. I don't have time to deal with it. My time's going to be up here in a little bit. Let me give you two or three things that you're looking for. Probably don't know it and don't know what you're looking for and wouldn't know it if you found it. You're looking for a rest in your soul. The natural man outside of Jesus tonight is looking for something to fill him up. He's looking for something to satisfy him, and you are not going to find it. The world does not possess it. It is not out there. You can look at it and for it in all the material things of the world. You can look at it on the social ladder of success. You can do everything you want to do and neighbor acquire every bit of it and still be as empty as last year's bird's nest until you meet Jesus. Amen. You are looking for, let me tell you why. You're looking for rest. We know Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die, is what God told him. He ate and he died. When God created Adam, man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. A lot of different theology about that. I think it's pretty simple, amen? Adam is a living soul. He disobeyed God and wasn't into transgression as a woman was, but nevertheless, he died that day. And he's been looking. Man is looking for rest. Here's what you're looking for, what he was looking for. The Bible said in Genesis 1:26-27, that God created Adam on the sixth day. Chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3, and God ceased from his work, and God did rest on the seventh day. Man is created on the sixth day. That's man's number. I asked Brother Farmer about 666, and he helped me, said that doesn't have a lot to do with some of the prophetic preaching that went on several years ago. And I'm not dealing with that fact tonight. But the number of man, the Bible said, is six. And man tonight was created on the sixth day, and that is not a day of rest. 6 days thou shalt labor, amen. And so Adam is looking for rest, and you're looking for rest, and you're never going to find it apart or outside of Jesus Christ. You'll never find rest except you find it in Jesus. Playing on numerology of the Bible, and that's a good study of the Word of God. I think men abuse it sometimes, but there are seven notes in an octave. Do, re, mi. I asked my wife about it this week. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Those seven notes. I don't know a thing about much about music, but I know those four or five strands of barbed wire we're singing across that church hymnal, and those four or five, say, I guess there's seven of those little black boys trying to climb between those wires there. And neighbor, when you get down to the end of that seventh one, it starts over on do again. It starts a new octave. I'm not a music man. Your pastor probably can straighten me out on a little bit of that. But that sixth note will never satisfy it. It'll never be full until it gets down on that seventh note, and then it's full. Amen. It's like 7 days in a week. It's never going to be full as long as your worshipper got that sixth day in there. It's got to be that seventh day. Amen. I personally think God set his calendar up on a 7,000 year week, and as the Lord, Peter said, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I think we're living in that closing day just before we're going to have the tribulation period, and then the 1,000 year millennial reign of Christ will be that seventh day, and that 8,000 year will start a new creation, amen, and a new ouch under in eternity. And that's getting ouch under ahead of me, but listen to me, there's no rest on that sixth day. You can't rest on that sixth note. It's got to go on to that seventh note, and you're not going to find any rest in your life until you come to Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus stood in Matthew chapter 11. Here's what he said in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you listening to me? Rest is a gift. You're trying to find that rest in everything you can learn and acquire or do, and you're not going to find it. It is a gift of God. You can live your life and never experience a real peace and rest in your heart. If you leave Jesus out of your life, you are never going to find it. Isaiah said it something like this: the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, in and out, casting up, washing out, washing in. That's the way some of your lives are, and mine was for the first 26 years or so. But when I came to Him and I met Him, He gave me rest in my soul, and I've been resting in the bosom of Jesus for the last 45 years. He gives you rest. Are you listening to me? It's a gift. You're looking for it, and you don't know where to find it. He's the missing links, what I'm trying to get you to see in verse number 10. You want complete rest? Lay your head upon the bosom of Jesus and rest your soul in Him. Are you listening? You'll never have that rest till you find it in Him. I got a lot of other scripture I could run a reference tonight. Let me get to my second point and I'll be through. Everybody's looking for peace and contentment, aren't they? I hope you are. I was. But I found it. For alliteration's sake, let me translate it to the Rains translation. I wasn't only looking for rest, but I was looking for something to make me rejoice or make me happy. For alliteration's sake, make me rejoice. I look for it. I look for it in a fast car. I look for it in a pretty girl. I look for it in playing sports. I look for it in all the physical things and material things and natural things, and I never found it. It's not out there. Kind of like the woman at the well that the girls' chorus sang about a while ago. She came to the well that day. Jesus is there sitting on Jacob's curbstone at the well, and He got the conversation, give me a drink, you know the story. And he started a conversation, that woman, and I learned something from him. He's the greatest soul winner that ever walked the face of the earth. And he talked to a thirsty woman about water. He talked to farmers about seed. He talked to fishers about casting your net. He's pretty wise, amen. I believe I can talk to you about deer hunting and get you to Jesus if you'll listen to me a little while. Learn, use a little bit of wisdom about you. But she came talking with Jesus there, and he said, go call your husband. And she said, sir, I have no husband. I'm not trying to embarrass you tonight. I'm trying to make a point. Jesus said, you've told the truth. You're telling the truth. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. That's six, isn't it? And he said, you still don't have any happiness or joy in your life. Five husbands and just quit and shacked up with a sixth one. Amen. But you know who Jesus was? Number seven in her life. Amen. Now, I'm not advocating you get rid of dad and get married six or seven times. Amen. I'm not preaching that tonight. I'd like to meet him first instead of number seven. It's kind of like that little girl come home, said she's going to get married again. Her mama said, why, hon, said you married a millionaire. And you married a movie star. You married a Baptist preacher. And you married an undertaker. What are you doing now? She said, well, one for the money, two for the show, and three to get ready, and four to go, I guess, Mama. She still wasn't satisfied. But when she met Jesus, He satisfied her. Amen. Ye are complete in Him. If you're not in Him, you're never going to be complete. you'll never have that joy. Here's what he prayed. Said this in John 15, the fruit bearing chapter. But he also said it when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He said, Father, that my joy might be in them. Are you listening to me? I'm praying. I'm getting ready to ascend to your presence. I'm going to be seated at your right hand, ever living, to make intercession for them. And Father, I pray for my children that my joy might be in them. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching about having something that'll make you happy. I'm preaching about something that will satisfy you. I'm preaching about something that will content you. And neighbor, every bit of that is wrapped up in God's Son that came into this old sinful, wicked world and died in our stead. Here's what he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are you listening to me? He will give you life, and he will give you abundant life, and he'll give you a full life, and he will give you a complete life, but it has to be in him. It's not of works that we could ever do. It's nothing we could ever merit. We are just going to have to accept the gift of God and let Jesus Christ become our light. Are you listening to me? I am so afraid of so many of these shallow experiences that are taking place in our Baptist churches today, and I don't think they realize really what it means to be saved by the grace of God. But to be saved according to the Bible is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Jesus living his life through me. It's not to keep me out of the hell and the pits of the dam. It's just not for me to manifest God's presence in eternity somewhere. But I'm telling you, it's down here where the water hits a wheel and the rubber hits a road. This world needs to see God tonight, and they're going to see him in Jesus, and they're going to see him in Jesus as he manifests himself and reveals himself through those of us that are saved. Our lives are written epistle, known and read of all men. Are you listening? Can somebody see Jesus in you? You are complete in him. You know, there were six cities of refuge. Some of you, and I'm through. You're going to have a refuge. The judgment of God is hanging over this country. I wouldn't be persuaded if it hadn't even already started on our, and I'm not a prophetic preacher. We were talking today. A lot of this prophecy been going on in the last few years. A lot of us have been changed today. Now, I don't preach a whole lot of prophecy, but I will tell you this, Jesus is coming. Now, I will tell you these are the last days. And I will tell you, his coming is imminent. He may come before I get through. But here's my third point, my final. I got some more if I had time to preach it. Now I'm not going to take time because I don't think the Lord wants me to. The preacher would allow me to. But listen to me. Every one of us is looking for a refuge. You're going to have a refuge. The judgment of God is going to fall on this earth. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Will you listen to me? Elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, and God's judgment's going to fall on this earth, and those that are not ready, the judgment's going to fall upon them. The only place you're going to find refuge is not just in a little tradition of men or the rudiments of the world or listen to some philosopher. It's in a person, and it's in Jesus. How can that be, preacher? Because the wrath of God has already fallen upon him instead of falling upon me. The earth's going to be burned up and the works of therein, what Brother Peter said. But those of us in Jesus Christ, we're going to be on the inside looking out when God's judgment falls on this earth. And the psalmist cried in the 61st Psalm, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. Are you listening to the preacher? You know, there were six cities of refuge. There wasn't seven. There were six cities of refuge where a man could hide from the avenger of blood. And that seventh city wasn't there. They were six of those cities. But I'm telling you, you can hide in the things of this world and the rocks, and they'll get in the caves of the mountain, cry for the mountain to fall on them, but that is not going to be sufficient. You're going to have to be hid with Christ. Are you listening to me? You're going to have to be hidden from the judgment of God in Jesus, and I'm through if I can. Every sin that has ever been committed from the garden or even prior to that maybe, but in the garden, and I'm not getting back beyond creation, amen, but I'm telling you, from the first sin until the last sin, every sin has to be judged, and every sin's going to have to be brought out before God, all things open and naked before Him, and I would not want that to occur in my life today, and it never shall, because Jesus was stripped and Jesus appeared before God, smitten of men, afflicted of God. I'm telling you, smitten of God and afflicted, and the wrath of God fell upon Him that I might not have to be judged. Now, are you listening to me? We are in Christ and He is in us. Therefore, we're not going to be judged. Amen. He was judged for me and found guilty of love in the first degree. And sentenced to the death sentence and bowed his chin upon a breathless chest and gave up the ghost that I might be saved by the grace of God. You're never, never going to escape the avenger of blood or the wrath of God outside of Jesus. There's not any other saviors. There's God's many with little g's. There's Lord's many. But I'm telling you, there's one refuge, and that's Jesus. And you, the Bible said, ye personally are complete in Him. It's final. It's full. It's finished. It's in Him. God will not judge you if you'll accept the judgment that fell on Jesus for you. That's elementary. But yet the depths of it befuddles the minds of men. They just want to help God. They want to, I've got to do this or I've got to help God. No, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. I'm not going to go because I've been preaching 43 years. I'm not going to go because I've been trying to work and live for Jesus all these years and intend to till I die. I'm going to glory because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. My life is full. My life is complete in Him. Peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable. I'm full of a preacher talking about the battles. Sure, there's battles. Storms, many. Paul, think about the life of the Apostle Paul, beaten with rods, and thrice was he shipwrecked, a day and a night in the deep, and perils of the countrymen, perils of the heathen, all those things he went through. That was the grace of God in his life because he was complete in Jesus. Let me ask you this tonight. I'm through. The preacher's coming. What are you looking for? You looking for a full life? I played sports. If I had time, I'd watch a good football game now, watch them butt one another, brains out, kick one another, and run a pigskin up and down the road. I like it. But that don't satisfy you. That's not what you're looking for. You probably don't know what you're looking for, but what are you looking for? Something to satisfy? Something to make your life complete? There's people listening to me. I'm trying to quit. There's people listening to me tonight. If you could get the puzzle solved and get all the pieces of your life together, you'd give about everything you've got. For your life, a puzzle's not meant to use not only a glass of water, but a puzzle's not complete as long as there's a piece missing. And your life will never be complete till you let Jesus be the cornerstone of the building and the piece that holds all the other parts of the puzzle together. It's Him. He made you. He loved you. He died for you. He'll come back and get you one of these days. Your life has to be complete in Him. Do you know Him? Are you in Him and He in you?
He's the answer to what you're looking for tonight. Let him help you, would you? Thank you.